More than 200 years ago, Mary Shelley created a character who would become immortal.
If this form develops as I hope, you'll have plenty to be afraid of before the night's over. Go on, fix the electrodes. Throw the switches.
It's alive! Oh, in the name of God! Ah, I know it!
Mary Shelley wrote the tale of Frankenstein when she was only 19 years old, her fertile imagination fueled by the age in which she lived and by her upbringing. She was the offspring of illustrious parents, writer Mary Wollstonecraft and philosopher William Godwin, both of them social rebels. At age 17, Mary ran off with the romantic poet Percy Bysshe Shelley, who was already married to another woman. She bore four children, three of whom died. And she continued to write all throughout her life, receiving great acclaim. Biographer Miranda Seymour says that Mary Shelley's legacy is largely thanks to Frankenstein, which remains her best-known book, and to the prodigious talents of its author.
She actually began it even before she was 19. She was still 18 when she started writing the main story. And I think that the thing we tend to forget about Frankenstein is how much Mary saw it as a book about education and about the way that people should be brought up, how parents should behave. And I think what one sees terribly strikingly in that incredible scene in Frankenstein that she describes of Frankenstein creating his creature in the laboratory, and the creature reaches out towards him, and Frankenstein recoils with horror from what is made, it's made incredibly clear, is his child. And it is Frankenstein's behavior which turns the monster into a demon as he sees it, but we don't. And really, this was the theme of Mary's work. And we tend now to think about the science, to think about genetics, to put every kind of mythical interpretation into this book. And it's the great wonder of Frankenstein that it will stand all those interpretations and contain them and take us somewhere else. But it wasn't Mary's original intention.
We should remind ourselves, too, it bears repeating, that Frankenstein was the name of the scientist, and the creature was this thing that he created. And Mary felt, in fact, you offer an interpretation that might be possible, that Mary was also making a kind of argument against slavery at the time.
She was aware, I think it's absolutely certain, of a society which was still fueled by slavery, although slavery had officially been banned. It's really amazing to remember that there were still slaves being employed in England, and money being left to slaves in wills, slaves being left to other people, right into the 1840s. It's a kind of a myth that it had all died. And I think that the fact that she gives her creature features which seem to suggest that she was giving it the features of perhaps a mixture of an African slave and a West Indian slave. And we do know for certain, because they wrote lots of letters about it, that she and Shelley were passionately against West Indian slavery, and they did what they could, which was not to eat any sugar, which was the best way you could boycott the West Indian slavery trade, because it was all to do with sugar, of course.
It wasn't until years later that playwrights started to plunder Frankenstein and turn it into these plays that became very popular on stage. But of course, she made no money from any of this, and the story was twisted way beyond her control.
Certainly, the year when she came back to England from Italy, Shelley had drowned in 1822. Mary was left with no money. Shelley's family, who were a pompous, snobbish lot, would have nothing to do with her. Her own father was ruined. And Mary came back to London to the slightly bizarre situation of finding her novel, from which, as you say, she'd lost all the rights. She didn't make any money from it. But there it was, on stage, in the West End, enormously successful, as a farce. It was so odd. They'd made the creature into a kind of comic demon, and they'd given Frankenstein a funny assistant called Fritz. And this was what Frankenstein became on stage throughout the 19th century. You could go to any country house in England at Christmas and find them putting on a Frankenstein pantomime. But the funny thing is that at the same time, Frankenstein was being taken up by the political writers and the caricaturists as a terrifying myth. So on the one hand, you've got it being a very funny stage play, and at the same time, you're having pictures of, you know, the new Irish terror, which the British were terrified of the Irishman on the rampage and wanting his rights. And the Irishman was portrayed as the creature rambling across a landscape with a kind of wild look in his eye, and Frankenstein branded round his head, because they'd muddled up Frankenstein and the creature by then. So it must have been very strange for Mary to see her novel taking on this double life.
She wrote a lot of other works as well. In fact, what's so amazing in reading about her life, not only that she came up with this story, Frankenstein, when she was still a teenager, but here she had children, she was raising them, she was moving around with Shelley, she knew all the literary lights of the day, and she was studying. I mean, it's unbelievable when you think of it in today's terms. She taught herself Greek, Latin, Italian, German. She was reading history, philosophy. She taught herself all these things while she's raising her kids, while she's writing. It was kind of all in a day's work.
I think that the explanation for that is her father, who actually became a great hero of mine. And Godwin was a man who just never stopped working and studying and teaching, and he wanted to set up his own school in the country. He was a bit dreamy about it. He forgot to actually think of the schoolmasters. I expect he was going to be all the schoolmasters himself. But he brought Mary up in this way, and she was given the run of his library from when she was six. And it used to be said always that it was Shelley who really brought Mary to education. But it's plain that she had the run of this fantastic library. It was meant to be the best in Britain. And that she was encouraged and urged always to be educating herself.
It seems curious, though, that in creating the story of Frankenstein, I mean, doesn't Mary Shelley have Dr. Frankenstein reanimate a corpse? Isn't that how it starts? Which seems pretty gruesome, no?
Well, it seems gruesome now, but Mary grew up in a house which was full of doctors and scientists, and Godwin himself was very much in the world of doctors and the new knowledge. And one thing that I found which fascinated me was that her father's best friend, Dr. Anthony Carlyle, came to visit the house when Mary was a little girl, bringing with him the extraordinary story of a dissection that had taken place, a kind of galvanism, at the surgeon's hall that day, and he'd been present. And there was a great interest at that time in trying to animate corpses, and they would work on the bodies of murderers. They were allowed to do that, and the minute a body had been cut down, it could be taken down to the surgeon's hall. And Mary and her father heard the story of how a corpse had actually been galvanized into life, and the arm of the body had been galvanized so successfully that it rose and struck one of the surgeons who was watching in the face.
He died of shock, but they connected little electrical impulses, right, little wires to it?
They did. They would attach the, they were called voltaic piles, and Carlyle was the first man in England to demonstrate these, so he certainly knew all about it. And they could galvanize little things like a dead frog and make it hop about. But to actually galvanize a corpse, to make its arm rise, to make the eyes open in exactly the way that Mary's creature does, opening watery yellow eyes, and that was the description Carlyle gave. And it's a very, very clear source for Frankenstein, and a fascinating one.
Miranda Seymour, her new biography is called Mary Shelley. Miranda Seymour joined us from London. Thank you, Miss Seymour.
Thanks a lot, Lisa. Thank you very much.